Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5 WRCH, and 96.5 TIC. My guest this week is Amy Watkins. She's with Watch For Me CT, and we're going to be talking about preventing traffic deaths, in particular those involving pedestrians. Amy, welcome to the show. Good morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
Glad to have you on the program. You know, it was just last week, recently, when you were talking with U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal in Hartford during a press conference about the Road to Zero. What was that all about? How did that press conference come to be?
That was a press conference organized by Senator Blumenthal as he is introducing or reintroducing his Road to Zero resolution, which is a pretty simple, straightforward call to action for people to address road traffic deaths as they continue to increase in our country.
Now, what's the history of the Road to Zero here? How long has this been kind of talked about and thought about? Because I know that this is a topic that's come up in Connecticut, at least, and I don't know about other states, but in Connecticut over the last few years, I've been hearing a lot about this cutting down on traffic deaths involving people in a car, involving pedestrians who are struck by vehicles, and so on. How long has this been in the works?
It's been a worldwide phenomenon since the 90s when it began, this idea began as Vision Zero, and it has adopted across the United States under various names, Vision Zero, Road to Zero. The overall idea that has been gaining attention and traction is that road deaths should not be accepted as inevitable, that we can prevent them if we do the things that we know work, like slowing speeds, designing better roads, designing better vehicles. So it's gaining momentum as we go because our trends continue to go in the wrong way. So the actual idea is not brand new, but it gets more recognition as we continue to see increased deaths on the road.
And I imagine that as time goes on, Amy, speaking this morning on Face Connecticut with Amy Watkins of Watch For Me CT, I imagine as the years go on, more ideas come to be about how can we prevent these and more measures are passed, or more momentum, I should say, is gained to get legislation passed to tackle and address the issue. So if we look back to the 90s to where we are some 30 years later in 2023, what kind of progress has been seen on this issue?
Well, it's kind of interesting because for a while, our in the mid-century, it was extremely dangerous to drive. And then, lots of improvements happened and road deaths went down, and there was a great trend towards safety and then reduced deaths. And at some point, and we're not really sure why, but after a low in 2009, the trend reversed from going down each year to going up each year. And now we are back at what is almost an all-time high in comparison with some of the deadly years of, say, the 80s. So where we had made a lot of progress, we've now lost that ground. And there's a number of theories as to why that is and what different factors there are. But as we continue to make improvements to vehicles, we don't necessarily make improvements that can help people outside of cars, so pedestrians and bicyclists.
What are some of the theories that are leading to these increases in these deaths and these accidents? Any that you could share with us?
Sure. One of them is the increased market share of SUVs. So people deciding that they need bigger automobiles, so trucks, SUVs, things that are heavier, faster, and the way that they strike a person is more deadly than a sedan. We also have an increase in, there's a lot of distractions that we never used to have. We didn't have cell phones, in the 80s and 90s, and then increased complicated car systems, entertainment systems, lots of bells and whistles and things you can pay attention to, so things that distract you. impairment is not getting better, so that would be alcohol and drug impairment, but also prescription drug impairment. There's a lot of the continual building of roads that don't factor in, what actually encourages someone to drive safely. So making roads too wide, making people feel comfortable going 20, 30 miles over the speed limit. So even though the speed limit might say 35, the road is built to go 55 comfortably. And so that's what people do. And so we have these increasingly larger, faster cars driven by people who are distracted and impaired, who are not going the speed limit. And all of those factors increase the chances that if there's a crash, that somebody is going to be seriously injured or killed.
And according to the Connecticut DOT, just for some numbers here, more than 380 people were killed on state roads last year, which is the highest number that we've seen, I think you said, since the 1980s. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. The increase we've seen since COVID is just astronomical. It's just insanity. In 2019, 250 people were killed, and in just 2 years, we increased that to 380. And the extra impact that COVID had, it was not what we expected at all. We really expected if people are not driving, there will be fewer crashes and fewer deaths because nobody's on the road. But as it turned out, the people who were still on the road had no more congestion to slow them down. There's nobody else. You could go very fast and there's nobody in your way. And it decreased enforcement, so decreased police presence. And we saw an increase in fatalities, mostly of the type of fatality change. So it went from two cars crashing to a lot of single driver, one car crashing into two objects or going off the road. And that was due to, reckless driving, speeding. But now that we've all started coming back, the driving behavior has not changed. So lots of people are on the road now, and you still see the kind of reckless, aggressive driving at excessive speeds, and so the deaths just continue to climb. From 2019, where there were 250, to 2020, where 300, and 2022, 380. So, what does 2023 look like? How are we going to stop this trend from continuing to go up?
Right, because I've heard some experts say, and the DOT say, that it's possible it could be surpassed this year.
It could be. All signs so far are pointing to that things have not changed as far as driver behavior. And what that means is, a few things. We have to look at how we're designing our roads. Are we making things so that people can drive super fast through a school zone, through a neighborhood? Do we have the right traffic calming in place to slow speeds and make people feel like they can't safely drive that fast? And there is increased police presence out there. I know on the highways, we're seeing more and more of them. I think that's going to help as well. So there's a lot of things that we need to do that will take time to take effect to change the bad behavior that developed over the COVID years.
Is there any time in particular where we're seeing the bulk of these crashes happen? I mean, for instance, Amy, I'm thinking about wrong-way crashes. Many of them happen overnight. Not all of them, but many of them do. Mm-hmm. And so if we look at the data that we do have, is this something that can happen at any time during the day? Naturally, but is that what the data is showing, or is this something that's particularly happening at night or on weekends? Any insight into that?
It depends on the type of crash. So as you said, wrong-way crashes very often occur overnight because more than 80% of those involve impairment. And a lot of people who, if they are driving home after a night out, they may be driving at night in the overnight hours, and that's where they may turn onto the wrong way on the highway. So, but generally, general crashes that involve car to car, a lot of stuff during rush hours. Obviously, there's more people out there. There's more chances for collisions. But certainly, it can happen at any time, and it does happen at any time. But you see peaks around rush hour, and for pedestrians, it's the same at that 4 to 6 o'clock time. But especially in the darker months, November, December, January are our dead deadliest months for pedestrians. It starts getting dark at 5 o'clock or four something, and before you know it, you're driving in the dark, you're walking in the dark, and no one is quite prepared for that change and keeping an eye out or being visible. So we see always an uptick in deaths around starting around daylight savings time and going into the deep winter where we have less daylight. So there are some trends that you can identify by type of crash.
We've been talking a lot about Connecticut, Amy, speaking this morning on Face Connecticut with our guest, Amy Watkins of Watch For Me CT. I should mention, though, that this is a national problem, with the CDC saying that traffic crashes kill more than 100 people a day. That is a sobering statistic.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this is absolutely a national problem. Across the country, you know, 40,000 people, over 7,000 pedestrians are killed each year. The trends are not unique to Connecticut. They're going up in other places. Many of the same reasons: the increased vehicle size, the increased speeds, and the infrastructure that is not built to give pedestrians and bicyclists safe places to walk and bike or cross the street and do the most basic things that humans do. We don't have that kind of safety infrastructure set up. So we are not the worst state by far. You know, the states like Florida, Arizona, that have very wide 8-lane roads that have businesses off the side of them, and people, you know, who need to cross are looking, you know, at these huge wide swaths of roadway that are never safe to cross. So we aren't the worst, but we are certainly in line with what is happening across the country.
If we think about pedestrians for a moment, specifically in crashes involving them, I know that Connecticut is looking into putting red light cameras in municipalities. I know Waterbury is trying to go down that path, and it's possible by this fall those red light cameras will be installed. So what is going on with pedestrians specifically? Are the crosswalks not safe? Are the drivers not looking out for pedestrians? What's leading to the increase in pedestrian crashes? Last year, 73 pedestrians struck and killed in Connecticut in 2022.
Yes, that was an all-time high that we hadn't seen in decades, and it's extremely sad. I think a lot of that really has to do a lot with speed. The faster a car is going, the more likely it is to kill somebody, and also the less time the driver has to react to something in the road, and the smaller your field of vision is, the faster you go, the less you can see in terms of, like, you know, across the road. It becomes more and more narrow, that field of vision. So you are less able to detect a possible conflict. You're less able to stop in time, and that impact is more deadly with your speed. But yes, I think there's a lot of idea that roads are for cars. This is many decades of thought that, you know, our most top priority should be getting cars from A to B as fast as possible and not inconvenience drivers. And there are a lot of people, I mean, we're all pedestrians. All of us get out of the car at some point and have to walk into our work, into a store, in, you know, around our neighborhood. So we have to stop and think that all of us walk, and all of us deserve to be able to walk and to get home safely. So we need to balance better, you know, getting cars where they need to go in a quick way, and having the safe infrastructure for pedestrians, frequent crossings, well-lit and well-marked crossings, sidewalks, things like the enforcement, like the speed cameras that can slow speeds down. And those cameras are going to be will be chosen specifically for places where problems have been identified, or in pedestrian safety zones, or in school zones. So they're not going to be everywhere all the time. You're going to have to make a case for why you want one and why it's needed, and they're going to be monitored. And the idea is that, you know, officers can't be everywhere all the time, but we need an added level of enforcement, and it's been very successful in places like New York City, in being a small fee that just is enough that it doesn't put people out financially, but it allows them to take seriously that the speed limit will be enforced. So there, in the end, I think that they will be a great tool for slowing cars and saving people's lives.
Going back to what we started to talk about at the beginning of our Face Connecticut episode together, Amy, Senator Richard Blumenthal and his Road to Zero resolution that he's getting behind, what details are you aware about in that plan that you could share with us and maybe explain for our listeners?
Okay, so the Road to Zero resolution, the first part of it, it is available online to read. It's fairly simple, fairly easy to find. The first part details what the problem is. It tells you about all of the deaths that we've had and what the trends are, and it kind of summarizes that. And then the second part calls for action. It says we should invest in infrastructure improvements that save lives. We should collect data that that supports those changes and the impacts of those changes. We should address inequities and in our traffic deaths, because people of color are more likely to be affected by this in those neighborhoods, people of lower income. So looking at inequalities and taking a safe systems approach, which is my favorite part of it. It calls for the safe system approach, which means we all need to work together to reduce traffic deaths. We have to collaborate across disciplines, and that means, educators, law enforcement, regulators, lawmakers, engineers, all of us can contribute to making safer streets, safer vehicles, safer roads. So it's a very holistic way. It's saying what we've done is not enough. We need to take another look at how we are addressing this problem that continues to get worse and worse every year.
Is there technology that could be put in cars that would help in this case? Maybe if it somehow senses a pedestrian that it slows down or it stops or something like that. Is there any research done into that?
Yes, there's a lot of things we can do as far as technology. So one, the cameras are obviously great. You know, having backup cameras and forward-facing cameras, that helps with rollovers and backovers with children, which is a problem and something that we all want to make sure that we're not doing. And so the cameras help with that. Also, the detection, the other auto and pedestrian object detection in cars, so to just help prevent collisions, the merging left and right, it indicates there's a car there. The automatic braking, if it senses an object in front of you, all of these are really great tools. Then there's things like, changing the crashworthiness of a car. Right now, we've adjusted the way that cars are built so that they are more safe for the person inside because of the way that they crumple, etc. We can also do that for the people outside of cars. So you can change bumpers and things in a way that they will be safer if someone is involved in a crash. And then there's even more extreme things that people toss around now and again, like speed limiters. I don't think that's really coming to us, but one thing that may actually come sooner rather than later is interlock devices, so things that prevent people from drinking and driving impaired. So we may start to see those in cars at some point. And it seems like improved headlights. There's a lot of little things that we can do that slightly adjust automobiles in the same way we've done for years to protect occupants, but looking at how can we also change how deadly a car is to a person outside of the car.
Amy Watkins with Watch For Me CT on Face Connecticut this morning. I'm Morgan Cunningham. It's also my understanding, Amy, that the federal government has just announced $2.5 billion worth of money to go toward Connecticut communities that would ultimately improve roadways and walkways as well, thinking about those pedestrians. So what improvements might be made with that money? And any idea where? Because I know $2.5 billion is a lot of money, but it's certainly not enough to address every walkway in the state. So it's a great start in readjusting what's going on as far as traffic deaths. But where would that go and how would that look?
Right. There's a lot of money coming from the federal government to the states to disperse. There's a number of initiatives and grants that they've provided, and a number of our communities have already received some of those grants, and there's a lot of them. And that money can be used for lots of things, for doing a study to even, you know, pick out which street is dangerous or in which way that street is dangerous and how it might be improved and, you know, making those recommendations all the way up to actually implementing those changes and making adjustments and doing construction to increase the safety of the street. And again, we have cities in our state that have gotten some grants. And a lot of them, some of them are funneled through our Highway Safety Office or at our Connecticut Department of Transportation. Some of them are through our metropolitan governmental organizations like the Connecticut Capital Region of Governments. So there are a number of sources for funding, and if, you know, people should contact, you know, if the planners in the town, they can work with their town, with their regional COG, and even with the state has a bicycle and pedestrian advisory board that can help people figure out which kinds of things are available to help them in their town.
In our last few moments here together on Face Connecticut this morning, Amy, and I really appreciate your time very much. What can be done in the short term? We've been talking so much this morning about long term and some bigger picture goals, but in the short term, maybe in the next year, what can be done about this issue?
Okay, so there's a great question. There's sort of two levels. One is individually what we can do, and that is to slow down and not drive impaired and not be distracted if we're driving. And if we're walking or bicycling, being aware of what's around you and not leaving your safety in the hands of other people. You know, you may think that you have been seen by a car. You may know that you have the right of way. But if you aren't seen or that person can't stop in time, it's not a gamble you want to take. So being aware of the situation, which is why it's so important we have these conversations, having people be aware that it's not safe out there. And until we get a better handle on this, you need to be aware of your surroundings and you need to drive responsibly. All that said, we need the government, we need our legislators, as we've seen our DOT, our planners, and what they are all doing and need to continue doing is to look at this problem and address it and figure out what we need to do. So some of that is long term. Some of that can be short term. Some of that can be just putting in some street calming, some things that are not permanent, putting bollards or planters or things that slow the traffic. So any kind of traffic calming we can do, anything that slows the cars down while we take a longer view at how to redesign streets, that will help. And the enforcement, I'm glad to see that there's more enforcement out there. It is a piece of this puzzle. We do need it. So continuing to enforce traffic laws, enforce speed limits, stopping at stop signs and stop lights, the real basic stuff. So it's going to take all of us at many levels, but there are things that we can do today, and that is look at how we are driving.
Amy, I really appreciate your time. And my other reminder will be, you know, if you witness somebody who's driving irresponsibly, report it. Don't be afraid, right?
Sure, yeah. But be careful when you're trying to drive that you're not on the phone calling for help.
Sure.
But yeah, you know, let your town know if you have a particularly dangerous area. You know, if you think there's your street or a street nearby that you travel a lot has a lot of bad driving behavior going on or seems to have a lot of incidents, make sure that your town representatives and everybody knows about that and knows about your concern, because, you know, it does help to have the community voice in this to say, I want a safer street and my street is not safe and I would like you to do something about it.
Amy, thank you very much for coming on Face Connecticut this week. We'll have to do another update down the line, okay?
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.